Well, good morning. I welcome everyone to the virtual services we are having. And today we have John, who's going to be sharing the gospel as well as singing some songs. So we are very grateful to have him here. And I'd just like to open up with reading Psalm 100, a song of praise and joy. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we commit this service to you. We pray, Lord, that you would bless the words that are spoken and the songs that are sung. We thank you, Lord, for John and his willingness to serve here this morning. And pray, Lord, that your truth is spoken, that it is raised up. Lord, we take comfort in your word, knowing that when we put our faith and trust in your Son, Jesus, the Great Shepherd, that we are sheep in your pasture, and we long for the day in which we will be welcomed into the gates of heaven, that eternal dwelling. We give you praise and thanks and ask for your strength in this day and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll welcome John up now.
Well, thank you, Pastor Jeremy, for allowing me to be here again and to be in the house of the Lord. And it's one of my favorite places at the Schoenfelder Mennonite Church. I've been here since 2007, coming on and off doing conferences, and that we've had many of our Friends of Israel conferences here, and even some of the speakers. And so it's always a joy to come back into this house and especially to sing, but also to preach God's word. And this song that I'm going to do is called O Jerusalem. And it's a message that I sometimes want to preach, but it is that the Garden of Eden is Jerusalem. And there's been a battle for this place ever since the Garden. And that Satan thinks that he has won, but he knows that his time is short. And it was in here that God called a man and a woman, Adam and Eve. And now we're going to be looking at a little bit of this gospel this morning. From Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 to 32. And then we'll look at the rest of the scriptures and how that all backs it all up. But this song is talking about how God called, you know, Adam and Eve, and then how he called Abraham to Mount Moriah. It's the same place. And then God would give Moses the law, and they would eventually set up a tabernacle on Mount Moriah. That was during the days of King David. And Solomon would build a temple, and it would be where atonement could be made. And what one day God had planned that salvation would come to Jerusalem. And that's why we're told in Psalms 122, verse 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And that God would bless those who love Jerusalem. And so because in Jerusalem, it was where sin began. And it would spread to the whole world. But in Jerusalem, salvation would begin. And it would spread to the whole world. For God desires that none should perish. And so this song is called O Jerusalem.
In Eden, God made man and woman. The devil came and he enticed them. They would sin and blood was shed. And they would have to leave Jerusalem. God took Abraham to Mount Moriah. There the blood of a ram. The gospel would come to the whole earth.
As I ponder that salvation, the Lord helped me to put some music and some words to a song that was already written by my good friend John Acord. And I kind of changed it a little bit, but it's his thoughts, a lot of his words, but I put music towards it, and it's called Jesus Died on Calvary. But it asks the question, sinner, when was the last time you remembered Jesus died on Calvary? You know, and then it goes and asks the same thing for a friend, and then it asks the same thing for a Christian. Christian, when was the last time you remembered Jesus died on Calvary? And then Christian, when was the last time you remembered Jesus died to set you free? And it, because this is the gospel. And that when we ponder the gospel, it is amazing. In fact, the very first words in the Hebrew Bible, you know, Bodashit, you know, Bara, Elohim, Et, Hashemayim v'ed ha'aretz. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the very word in the beginning, Bodashit, is made, one word made up of three. And Bar is sun, Ish is man, Ta is the mark. And you go to the Hebrew paleo symbols, and you can see that this is what God outlined about a sun, a man, a cross, the Son of God, the first and last, created the heavens and the earth. And we look at the rest of the scriptures, and we see that a son was coming to die, a son was going to rise, and a son was coming back, and that one day that son will reign forever. And so when was the last time you remembered?
Sinner, when you're in trouble, with no place to go, won't you fall down on your knees and cry for the Lord, your sins to forgive, that through repentance you may your soul to live. Sinner, when was the last time you remember when Jesus died on Calvary? A sinner, when was the last time you remember when Jesus died to set you free? Friend,
Well, this morning we're going to be looking at the gospel in the book of Genesis. And as I already quoted in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, the Bereshit, the Son, the Man, the Cross, is that we wanted to just continue on with that theme. In fact, one of the things I'd like to do is I'd like to read out of 1 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 1, and then we're going to go right back into Genesis chapter 5 and verses 1 to 32. Now, this is a very exciting portion of Scripture found in 1 Chronicles, because here as you get to verse 1, it says, Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Mahaliel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, Shem, Ham, Japheth, and you, oh boy, you know what, it's just a bunch of names, and you think, well, what's in a name? Why would God put those names there? Well, as we turn back now to Genesis chapter 5, and we now hear what God has to say about these names, is that we're going to begin reading with Genesis chapter 5. It says, this is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them. He created man. Let us make man in our image. He created them, male and female. And he blessed them, and called their name Adam. So they were both called Adam. And then as Eve it would come, she would also be referred to as Eve in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, and after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he begot Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years, and he begat Enos. And Seth lived, after he begat Enos, 807 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And you're starting to think, oy, oy, oy. He keeps saying that we're going to beget something, because it said Adam begat Seth, and Seth begat Enoch, and Enoch begat, and nobody's begetting anything here at the moment, and so we start flipping pages because we want to beget something. And but it's in these 10 names that God wants you to beget
the most wonderful, the most glorious, the most beautiful words of salvation in 10 names. In fact, as we look at these 10 names, you know, Adam's name means red man. Seth's name means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. But there's another word in there, and it's asserted before this Mahaliel, and it's the Hebrew word et. It's never translated. I mean, it's found in Genesis 1:1 as well. You know, it's the fourth word in Hebrew. It's the first and the last characters of the Hebrew alphabet, and never ever translated until you get to Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And so it says, et, which is the first and last, Mahaliel, blessed God, Jared, come down, Enoch, teaching, Methuselah, his death will bring it, Lamech, despairing, and Noah, comfort. And so as we look at these 10 names, well, what is it really saying? Well, when you put it together, this is what it says. The red man appointed mortal unto sorrow, but the blessed God comes down teaching, his death will bring it to the despairing comfort. When God is going to come down, when this blessed God, when this first and last blessed God comes down, he's going to teach that his death will bring it to those that are in despair. Who are those in despair? Those that were appointed mortal, the red man and all his descendants, Adam and Eve and all the descendants, that is, they had to leave the garden. They could have eaten of any tree, but they decided to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And sometimes people say, where did evil come from? God created it. Well, why would God create it? He gave an opportunity. He didn't have robots. He made a choice. He would offer you the opportunity. In fact, Isaiah 45 verse 7 tells us, I create light and darkness, I create good and I create evil. Well, it's because it was there in the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Satan deceived man, saying that if you eat of this tree, you shall surely become like God. And they did. They were suckered in, they were deceived. The devil didn't make them sin. They did that on their own, and now all their children, all their descendants, and we're going to look at some of these scriptures, that from Adam to Moses, that is mentioned in the scriptures, and even to this present day, we have all sinned. There is none righteous, no, not one. And so I wanted to look at each of those words, those phrases, and some of them are put together. Like, for an example, the red man appointed. He's appointed what? Well, look at Romans chapter 5. And verses 12 to 14. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 14. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that was through Adam, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, and we've all come short, Romans 3:23. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. And so, as Romans is writing it from Adam to Moses, death reigned. And I mean, Satan has stalked man, and he does not give it up. He knows that you have 70 to 80, you may have a maximum of 120, as it was said of Moses. Is that, and God promised in the days of Noah, man's days will be 120 years. But Psalm says 70 to 80. And, you know, when people, you know, get to that 70, 80, like my dad, he's 86, and there's others that are, you know, in their 90s, some people we know that it got made to the 100. Not very many people make it up to that 120 years. And if you don't think there's struggle, there's very few people that go through this world that do not have a struggle. And that for every person that's born, that we know of has died. Not a lot of hope if you have no God, if you have no Savior, if you have no one to intercede on your behalf. I love what Psalms 102 tells us. And we're going to look at verse 20. And as David writes these Psalms, he reminds us, he says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loose those that are appointed to death. It was from the Garden of Eden that man would be appointed to death. He said, but David then says to declare the name of the Lord in Zion. That's in Eden. And his praise in Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve the Lord. There's coming a day when all the kingdoms will be joined together only because they put their trust in the Lord Jesus, the Jewish Messiah. And then Hebrews chapter 9 tells us again about this appointment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. But I'm going to read back verse 26. It says, "For then must he have offered, speaking of Christ, have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world has appeared but to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but then after this, the judgment." It is appointed once that man would die. The gospel was given once. There's not another gospel. There's not a refreshing of this gospel. It is the same gospel that we're to contend for. But we're all going to die. It is appointed unto men to die. And the only way to live and get eternal life is to put your trust in the one that's going to come down teaching about his death. The second phrase that I would like to look at is mortal unto sin. And so, you know, when we look at Enos, his name is mortal, and Canaan means sorrow. And so the mortal unto sin, and the reason that they became mortal is that they were made in the image of God. But because of sin crept in, is that man was made in three parts. He was made of a body, he was made of a spirit, and he was made of a soul. But on the day that Adam died, he didn't die physically, though he would. He died spiritually. And that would be passed on to each of the children and each person today. This is why you must make a decision. It's between you and God. Is that you can't go by what your parents said. You can't go by what other people have done. It has to be for you and you only. And so God is calling each of us, you know, and salvation is given. And the call is that whosoever will may come. You know, and I've sang that song so many times. I'm so glad that he included me. He included me. He included me. I'm so glad that he included me. For Jesus said that whosoever will, and I always like to stop, I like to pause, may come. Whosoever. And, you know, one of the things that has been really struck in my heart and in my mind, my very soul, is that, you know, when the Pastor Arnold had passed away, and I was asked to do the message. Well, that I had stayed with him the one night before, and he was in sorrow. He was in so much pain. But the thing that spoke out to me is that he kept saying, "Jesus lives, Jesus lives, eternity, eternity." And I would like to challenge you, if you're looking for a Bible-believing church, you know, is to come into this church, because on my right-hand side, there's a sign that talks about Jesus labor, or Jesus lives. And then on the other side, on my left-hand side, it talks about Jesus Christ, and it talks about eternity. And it's the only way that mortals can have eternal life. Though we will suffer, and there will be sorrow, and be lots of problems and trials and temptations here. You know, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16, that after Adam and Eve had sinned, and God came and walked into the garden with them, it says, in verse 16, God says, "Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee." Is that there's not very many women that have ever had a child, or even as they find out that she's expecting, is that she starts having problems and having sorrow and morning sicknesses, and then as the day approaches and all the contractions as this moment is about to arrive, the sorrow and the pain. But with man, this is what God said to man, and he said unto Adam, he said, "Behold, thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree," that's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which they were told not to eat of which I commanded thee, saying, "Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." And those two events are still prevalent in our society even today. So after almost 6,000 years on the Jewish calendar, 5781, after all these years, we still see the sorrow for the woman, and we still see the sorrow of man, and those that are trying to make a living off this land, and then people that try to make a living off the people that are making a living off the land. It just continues again and again and again. And just when you think you've got it, you know, maybe the weeds or the thorns and the thistles killed, all of a sudden something else comes up, another type of thorn, another type of thistle, another type of disease. We find in Psalms chapter 82 and verse 6. Again, as King David reminds us, that these are the things that God was saying to him, and he wrote these things by the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 6, I have said, ye are gods. David said many times, I sing unto the gods. He was referring to man and woman. Now, some people have taken it and say, hey, I'm a God. Yeah, but listen what it says. And all of you are the children of the Most High. And verse 7 says, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. So though you were made in his image, you're going to die. And the only way to live is that is to have the Holy Spirit come and tell you about the Lord Jesus, that as he comes to live within you, is that you would receive him as Lord and Savior. That you would make him, through repentance, the king of your life. And that you'd have eternal life promised to you, waiting for that day that though we die, we would see him. Unless the rapture happens, and it's something that most people are not teaching anymore, but the Bible makes it very clear. Even Jesus used these words in the gospel, in Matthew's account, and in the gospel of John about harpazo. And so we don't have time to look at that, but it's there in the scriptures. And in fact, if you want to know anything, the scriptures always answer literally the scriptures. So if there's a question, there's a problem in your life, go to the scriptures. Because you don't want to just be like one of these men who thinks they're God and they're going to die and never live again, except to live maybe in the lake of fire. The third aspect I want to look at is the blessed God. But as I told you about that first and last, is that it's the blessed God. It's the first and the last God. See, in the Hebrew, the word et is actually the first and last. In the Hebrew letters, Aleph and Tav. If I put that into the Greek, that's Alpha and Omega. If I put this into the English, it's the A and the Z. And for those that might be American, A and Z. But it's the first and last. There's only one God. You know, I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 46, verses 9 and 10. You know, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. For I am God and there is none like me. You know, declaring the end from the beginning. There's none like this God. In fact, if you were to go to the synagogue on Shabbat, on the Saturday, Friday night, Saturday after, in the morning, you would probably hear this song. Enke Eloheinu, Enke Adoneinu, Enke Melekeinu, Enke Shemoshienu. There is none like our God, there is none like our Lord, there is none like our King, there is none like our Savior. There's none like this blessed God. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, and his name, as Proverbs 30 verse 4 says, what's his name? The last sentence, part of that sentence, says, what's his name? What's his son's name? Surely you know. His name, 63 times found in the Hebrew Bible, Yeshua, salvation, Jesus. And so let's turn to these things about the first and the last. If we're going to look at the blessed God, turn to Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 6. And it says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. And this Lord is capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. In the Hebrew, it's Yud, He, Vav, He. And he says, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. It is the Lord speaking. That he is the first, he's the Aleph, and he is the last, he is the Tav, and he's the Mem, everything in between. And when I think of words, you know, emet, you know, is that it truth. Is that he's everything. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the first and the last. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. Look what it says about this et. Is that we find it in Zechariah 12 verse 10. It's the first time that it's ever been translated, the word et. And here in the English it says, "And I will pour out upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me." Now, it's personal. They'll look upon me. And the Hebrew word here, as we read English, whom, is the Hebrew word et, the first and the last, the olive and the tav. "They shall look upon me, the olive and the tav, that they have pierced." Oh, wait a second. Who is being pierced? Well, the scripture says that in Psalms 22, it tells us about him being pierced. That he'll be cut off. "And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son." See, God's only son, his only begotten son. I mean, we find this in John chapter 1 and verse 14 when it talks about the begotten son. Chapter 1, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And I love that word begotten because it speaks from eternity past to eternity future. But they're going to mourn for this only son who is, in this case, he's the first and the last, where we know in Isaiah 46, the first and the last was the king of Israel. The first and the last is the one that's going to declare the end from the beginning. You know, and I think of that when we look at this, is that he's declaring the end from the beginning, is that when you go to the, like if you go to the Jewish Bible, it ends with 2 Chronicles chapter 36, but that can't be the end. Why? Because the last few verses of 2 Chronicles 36 are found in Ezra chapter 1. It's continuing on, but though the Jewish Bible ends with that book, it can't be according to the way our Bible is set up. And that we end with the book of Malachi, because in Malachi chapter 4, it ends with a curse. And who wants to be part of that program? I haven't seen anybody that says, "Hey, pick me, I like to be cursed." No, it ends with another book called the book of Revelation, the revelation of the Jewish Messiah, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. And it says in Revelation 22:21, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all, amen." It ends... As it ends, it says that he declares the end from the beginning. So the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all, amen. From the beginning, about the in the word beginning, barashit, bar, son, ishman, to the cross. It ends with the very statement of as it begins. It makes a completion. In the beginning, that's the beginning. Amen is the end. And yet it's only the end of what is declared. It's only the beginning of a wonderful eternity, and I hope that you will choose that path of eternity, because God has prepared something so wonderful. In fact, in Isaiah 64, verse 4, we're told, it says that the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, nor perceived what God has prepared for those who wait for him. And then we turn to Revelation chapter 1, that is, we're looking at the one that was pierced. And here we find in the very last book, chapter 1, verse 7. And it says, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen." And look who it's speaking about. I am. Well, that was the king of Israel. In fact, you know, the Jewish people that were religious, and they were putting him to death, not because they put him under, they turned him over to the Romans. And the Romans, as we're told in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19, they crucified him. But the I am is the king of Israel, and he says, "I am Alpha and Omega." In the Hebrew, that's Aleph and Tav. This is the very one that was from the beginning, found the fourth word, you know, the Aleph and Tav. And here they look upon him whom they have pierced, and that the nations will look upon whom they have pierced, because it wasn't just the Gentiles that put him to death. The Jewish religious leaders put him to death. But the thing is, he died for the sins of the world, for the whole world, that none should perish. He died for your sin, for my sin. And that whosoever will, if we repent and accept this Jewish Messiah, the one we call Jesus, who is Christ, we can have everlasting life. Behold Jesus. Behold this Alpha and Omega. Behold the I Am. The next phrase is come down. And that takes us back to Genesis chapter 11. That is, we're looking at this wonderful gospel. Genesis chapter 11, that's the story of Babel and how the nations didn't want to separate. They didn't want to do what God had asked Adam and Eve to do, that, you know, that they would be fruitful, they would have dominion, and that they would also multiply and go over the whole earth. That's in Genesis chapter 1, verses 28 and 29. And so here we find that the Lord comes down to see what man is up to. And here we go, let's go to chapter 11, verse 1, and says, and the whole earth was of one language, is what they're trying to do today, and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, that's Babylon, in that area, Iraq, and there dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make bricks, burn them thoroughly, that they had bricks for stone and slime, that had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered. God was going to have them separate and multiply over the face of the earth, but they didn't want to do that, and abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. The Lord came down. Turn to Genesis chapter 18. And we find again that the Lord has come down. In fact, he's come down many, many times, and I'm just going to pick out a few references. But it says in chapter 18, verse 1, and the Lord appeared unto him, that's Abram, in the plains of Mamre, that's Hebron in the land of Israel, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and look what Abram does, and he bowed himself towards the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Well, let's go down to verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? That's the gospel. That's Galatians 3, verse 8. For I know him, and he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. Remember what Jesus said, I am the way. And to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of. And then he says, and the Lord said, behold, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. And so the Lord came down, he met with Abraham, and now he was going to go down and see what was the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not that God didn't know what Sodom and Gomorrah was doing. He already said that in chapter 14 that they were wicked, but that he would go himself. And see, when God came to rescue man, he came himself. He came down. He knew what man was like. He knew what we were doing. He wasn't caught off guard. When man sins today, or what is happening in our governments or around the world, God knows everything. You're not fooling him. But do we believe it? Turn to Exodus chapter 19. Chapter 19 and verse 11. And here, this is in the days of Moses, as the children of Israel have left Egypt. And here he says, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Is that the Lord came down? And look at it in verse 11 or verse 10. And it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. In fact, you find this term third day many, many times. It was in the days of Abraham. It was in the days of Moses. It's in the days when the Lord Jesus, you know, 3 days in the grave and he would ascend. Is that he was going to come down. He was going to then, 40 days later, he would rise. Is that, I like what it says in John chapter 6. John 6 and verse 38. And here it says, as Jesus is speaking, and it's the Passover, and they're wanting, you know, what is the work of God? Well, this is the work of God, he said in verse 29. He said, Jesus answered him, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. That's the work of God. You want to do the work of God? Believe what the Bible says about Jesus. But he says in verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And the word sent me is found throughout the whole Gospel of John. In fact, you just take a Strong's Concordance, look up the word sent, look in the Gospel of John, and you'll see this phrase, sent. And then just look at the scripture references, sent me. It's amazing how many times that is said. I did not come to do my will, but the will of my Father, which sent me. Which we find that in Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 16, he says, come near to me. From the beginning, I've not spoken in secret from the beginning. And now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Is that it was Yeshua, it was Jesus, it was salvation. Salvation was sent to you as God would come down. And as he would come down, he would come down teaching. And I just want to go to, as we look at those, you know, Methuselah, his death will bring it. Look at Matthew chapter 16 as we look as what Jesus says about his death and as he's teaching about it. Matthew chapter 16 and beginning with verse 21. And he says, and from that time forth began Jesus to show or to teach unto his disciples how that he must go up to Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden, and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. See, it was the elders and these leaders and scribes and chief priests, they're the ones that were making decisions because they didn't like that their authority was being attacked. And the people loved him because, see, it wasn't of the world system. We're seeing how the world system works. Even in the United States, we see how it's working. We see it in Canada. You know, the guy gets to the top, and everybody's supposed to bow down to him and follow whatever he says. But Jesus, his kingdom is much different. He said, if you want to be great, you know, in my kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. And that he was coming to be a servant, and that and though they would mistreat him, it would be because of the scriptures that already said that these things would, events would happen. But look at the comfort. And again, he's going to raise again the third day. Turn to Matthew chapter 17. And he says it now a second time. And he says, and while they were, verse 22, while they were abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceedingly sorry. See, here, they were in despair. They, you know, like, wait a second. I mean, if you're the king and you say you are, what is this that you have to die? You know, we think that we're going to reign with you. I can only imagine that as they came down the triumphal entry, the way of the king, the way of the sheep path, and that the disciples were there and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna unto the king. That I can only imagine as a disciple that they're thinking, we're going to reign with him. He's the king and we're his servants, we're his apostles, his disciples. We're going to reign with him right in Jerusalem. And the very next few hours is that he'd be being put to death and they would be fleeing for their lives. But look what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 20, verses 18 and 19. He says, behold, we go up to Jerusalem. And that's that song that I sang, oh, Jerusalem, you know, salvation has come. Is that Jesus is salvation. His name means salvation. In fact, we're told that in Matthew 1:21 and on, is that you shall call his name Jesus. He is born of a virgin. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. So the religious leaders saw Jesus as a threat. Luke chapter 20, it tells us that he's the heir, and let's kill him. And they shall deliver him to the Gentiles. See, now, so first we have the Jewish people involved. Now we have the Gentiles. And what do the Gentiles do? Because many Gentile people say that the Jews are Christ killers. Well, they had a part. The religious people had a part. But look with the Gentiles. The Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. Here's the one that knows all things. So when people start saying that the Jews are Christ killers, no, it was the Gentiles that crucified him. The Jews, the religious Jews might have done it themselves, but they said they couldn't, yet they had no problem with stoning Stephen in the book of Acts. And the third day he shall rise again. And so for the third time, he tells them that he's going to rise again. Those that are in distress, those that have got problems, those that are suffering, those that have lost loved ones, those that, you know, that are sick, is that, hey, this is the one that's going to rise from the dead. And we have the story and the illustration of the event with Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and they were so distressed that their brother had passed away. And Jesus comes 4 days late, according to them. But according to Jesus' time, God's time, he was right on time. And that Lazarus would rise from the dead. And they asked the very question, you know, as you turn to John chapter 11, and here's what these women have to say. John chapter 11, verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it to thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am. This is God. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? This is what Martha said. She said unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And God in the flesh raised Lazarus from the dead. And you would think that people would believe that when they saw somebody rise from the dead, that they would say, I want to believe in this person. No, they tried to put Lazarus to death, and they also tried to put Jesus, who rose Lazarus, from the dead. And so the comfort that they were going to receive, knowing that somebody was going to rise from the dead. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, and we'll look at verse 25. Because we've come to the last part. To the despairing comfort. And here we find in chapter 2, Mary and Joseph have gone to Bethlehem from Nazareth. Jesus is born. We don't know his name yet. The gospel is told in chapter 2, verse 10. And he says, fear not, for behold, I bring you the good tidings, the evangelium, the gospel of great joy, which shall be to all people, which is the gospel, is Genesis, found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, chapter 3, verse 15, chapter 5, verses 1 to 32 in the 10 names. And here we find it also in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. It's to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse 21, when 8 days, so 8 days after his birth, according even to the Jewish customs, were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, Yeshua, salvation. But then look we find in verse 25. And it says here, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden, whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. That's the comforter. Consolation, comforter, that the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, the Lord's Messiah. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, Yeshua, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Yeshua, Jesus, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. That's the gospel given to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. God never forgot anybody. and that as he sent Jesus, he was for everyone. So that nobody could say, well, he did, nobody cares about me. No, God cared about you. So that anyone could know, I am loved. What a comforter. What a consolation. Turn to the Gospel of John. We have two more references and we're done. John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18. He says, and I will, John 14, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you a comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's the name, the very name of Shem. You know, he's coming in a name. I will not leave you comfortless. I will comfort you. And that he's going to rise again. And if we're told in 1 Corinthians 15 that if he rises from the dead, so will we, if we put our trust in him. Well, look what it says here in verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. That's the Lord Jesus. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, and it's another Comforter, we'll find that out in a second, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, friend, when was the last time you remembered? Is that he was going to bring this so that you would remember. Turn to John chapter 15 and verse 26, and this is where we'll end. He says, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And the last reference that goes with it is verse 7. And he says, this is what the Lord Jesus says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he comes, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. I have many things, yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. However, be when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. Things to come. As we look at the book of Revelation, that's the theme of the very words of the Lord Jesus, of things to come hereafter. This gospel that is from Genesis to Revelation, this gospel is wrapped up in a son. This gospel has been proclaimed, has been fulfilled in the sense that he came, but he's made a promise that he was coming back. This Jewish Messiah is going to stand one day that is at the judgment seat, the great white throne judgment, but he's going to receive, as he stands before the Ancient of Days, Daniel 7, 13 and 14, the Son of Man shall receive a kingdom, a dominion, a people, a culture, a tongue for all people, whosoever will may come. And as we've just kind of touched the surfaces of the scriptures, it was all so that you'd get prepared to meet him in eternity, forever and ever, because he has a wonderful plan. And so I'd like to conclude this time with a song called In the Sweet By and By.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. The Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore.
Just close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the Word of God. We are so grateful for the promises of Thy Word, the promises that lead to salvation, that right from the beginning of Genesis to Revelation, that it is consistent, it is true, it is without error, it is infallible, inerrant, it is supreme, it has authority in every aspect for this world, for our lives, for making decisions, and that we can ask the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus so that it would be for the glory of the Father, that, Lord, that we would go deeper in our walk, in our talk, in our understanding, that we'd be able to share it. And when was the last time that we shared this good news from Genesis to Revelation about the Jewish Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of Gods, and that His name is Jesus. Oh, Lord, just open up our eyes, open up our hearts, our very souls, our mind, that we'd fall in love with You and that we couldn't contain it, but we'd have to tell someone about what great things and what a great God You are, but what great things You have done, even in our own lives. And so, Father, use this time that it may be an encouragement, a blessing to those that are struggling, those that are hurting, those who have loss of life, loss of friends and family, that, Lord, that we look forward to seeing Jesus, the One who is the author and the finisher of our life. Lord, bless this time. And we give You thanks, Lord, that whoever hears it, that they receive the blessing. But, Lord, that when it opens up for us to gather again, that someone would come and search out and hear the Word of God right here at the Schoenfelder Mennonite Church. And that, Lord, that they can contact Pastor Jeremy. God be with you all. May you be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.